So over the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at the whole theme of I Am. And we looked in Exodus 3 when God revealed himself to Moses as I Am who I Am. And that he is the God of yesterday, the God of today, and the God of tomorrow. So he's the God of everything. Last week, Rob, in the evening, was talking about the whole idea that when Jesus came, he says, before Abraham, I am, saying that God was before Abraham, I am. So in other words, God is outside of time. God is with him. I am is within our particular situation. And this morning, I'm going to be looking at this whole thing about Jesus says to his disciples, and he says to us, probably one of the greatest questions we'll ever be asked is this. Jesus said, who do you say that I am? It's one of the most profound questions, because we all have to answer that question. Because by asking that question, Jesus demands a response from every single one of us. And we're going to look a little bit about that particular passage, about Jesus' his revelation to the disciples of who he was, and the implication that has in the ministry of Jesus. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to get on with that. So Lord Jesus, I just thank you for that incredible revelation that you brought to the disciples and to us of who you are. That you are the Messiah, you're the one who is promised, you are the anointed one, you're the one sent by God to show us what God is like. And Lord, I want to pray this morning that you'd open our eyes to your truth and to the ministry of Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord, more and more that you would exercise your ministry in this church, because this has to be the focus of us, the ministry of Jesus. And so we pray now that you continue to release that upon us. Teach us how to minister. Teach us how to walk as you did, Lord. Teach us how to be sensitive, Lord. Pour out your compassion upon us, Lord, so that we can do the things you've called us to do and make a difference in the places we find ourselves. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. So if you want to turn with me to Matthew 16, verse 13, that's just to really place us, just to put your finger in at this particular time. And before I sort of elaborate a little bit more on who do you say that I am, just a bit of context in this is this, that the nation of Israel were expecting and have been expecting now the coming, the arrival of the Messiah. And this was highlighted in Micah 5, and Matthew 2 alludes to this in the beginning of the Gospels. It says this, "But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." And so this prophecy from Micah, which was picked up by Matthew, was a strong statement within the Jewish psyche of and the people that a Messiah was going to come. He's going to be located in Bethlehem. He would be one who would become a ruler, and he would be the shepherd of the people of Israel. They would understand the word ruler as the one who is a Messiah, the anointed one, the deliverer of God's people. They would have understood him in the same way as Moses came to set the captives free, that this Messiah would come and rescue the people again. And so it's commonly understood within the Jewish people that God will come and rescue them from their oppressors. And so at the time of Jesus, with the Roman occupation, there was a great understanding among the people that if the Messiah comes, surely he will restore us from this oppression. But when the Messiah would come, no one had really an idea what it would be like. And it would be a bit like one of those questions that people are talking about down the local pub or in the shop, or in the local village, that they were always talking about, when is the Messiah coming? And in those days, many Messiahs came, but before long they knew they're false Messiahs. So it's always in the expectation of the people that the Messiah will come. And one of the common understandings of this, that he would come as a Messiah like King David. He'd be a warrior king. He'd be one who would come through that lineage, and he'd be one who would restore the people. And as I said a couple of weeks ago, if you turn to me in Luke 7:20, this same question was brought to Jesus from the disciples of John the Baptist. They said this. They said, when the men came to Jesus, they said, John the Baptist has sent us to you. Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else? And as I talked about that the other week, John the Baptist had prepared the way of the Lord. He was a prophet who ushered in that the time when Jesus was going to come. He said, repent, for the kingdom of God is here. And through his preaching, many turned and followed him. And then when Jesus came, he said, he is the one who was to come. And so, as I said last time, John the Baptist found himself in a prison, an unexpected situation. He's waiting to be liberated. And so he thought, well, this is not what was meant to happen when the Messiah came. And so this is what Jesus replies to his question. The question being, are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else? He says this, go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those of leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me. So what Jesus was doing here was this. He was not answering their question directly, but he was allowing the people to reach their own conclusions by describing the activity of God. Was he the Messiah? But these are the signs. Was he who he said he was? But these are the signs. The lame walk, the leprosy cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised. See, Jesus is revealing to those who had eyes to see that Jesus, the King, was among them. It would be a very different kingdom from that of the world. It would not be inaugurated through military power, but it would be a kingdom that would come and bring God's kingdom that would heal people on every level. So the beginning of this question in verse 13, Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, and he asked his disciples, who do the people say the Son of Man is? And what's interesting about this, Jesus did not ask the question in Jerusalem. That is the center of where the question should be asked. But he took them to a place called Caesarea Philippi, which was about 2 days walk from Galilee to the north of Israel. It's basically in the middle of nowhere. And the reason why Jesus did this was two things. One, he did not want to be enthroned as Messiah before his time had come. So he wanted to talk to disciples in a location away from the activity from the center of Israel. And secondly, for Jesus to be known as Messiah was beginning to get very dangerous for him. It says in Luke 13:31 that Herod was planning to kill Jesus because he was becoming a threat. So Jesus questions his disciples, who do the people say the Son of Man is? Or who do the crowd say? And so this is the question that the disciples would be picking up from the people that they were with. Who do they say that I am? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And so people were saying and making a call on who Jesus was. And that is the very heart of the Christian gospel. Who do you say that I am? Jesus says today, who do you say that I am? A well-known quote from C.S. Lewis says this. This is about how people's perception of who Jesus is. He says this, I'm trying here to prevent anyone saying the really foolish thing that people often say about him. I'm ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept his claims to be God. That is the one thing we must not say. A man who was merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would be either a lunatic on a level with the man who says he's a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool, you can spit at him, you can kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us, and he did not intend to. That's an incredible statement, isn't it? And he's basically saying, Jesus is either Lord, he's either a liar, or he's a lunatic. And so when Jesus says, who do you say that I am? It poses great questions to each one of us of who we are. I'm who he is. And that's one of the things we have running the life course we've been running last term, we'll be running again this term. Again, we're posing the question to people by sharing about Jesus and posing the question, who do you think that he is? And it's through those questions that people have a different take along that road. Some people think he's Jesus, some people not ready yet. But it poses again the question, who do you say that I am? Then Jesus moves from the collective question to the disciples to a personal question to Simon Peter. And he moves it away from who do they say that he is to who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered. And it's an amazing question. And Peter's answer, as we will know, says, Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Peter recognized that Jesus was the Messiah. And Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And so this revelation, this blessing to Simon, was that God revealed himself as he says this. He says, who do you say that I am? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And through that blessing, through this revelation, the Lord is revealing to him who he is. And the wonderful thing about this is I spoke about a couple of weeks ago that Jesus first calls him by name. And I shared about the time when I was out in America when there's a prophet over in the UK who came to my mum and dad's house and said, where's Jonathan? And they said, well, he's actually out in America. And anyway, he came and he ended up prophesying about me. Not there was anything, but he's prophesied about me in England, and I happened to be in America. But the most amazing thing about that was when I read the letter, as I said the other week, was that it wasn't so much about what was said, it's that Jesus knew my name. As I said last time, people call me John, but Jesus calls me Jonathan. That's what I was born with. But he knows our name. So Simon was called by name. And then Jesus said, this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And then Jesus says this, and I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gate of Hades will not overcome it. And Jesus saw him as the rock, not as a future tense, but as a present tense. It wasn't you were going to become the rock, because you are the rock, because Jesus has said so. And what I love about this is that we look at Peter's life. Simon, who was the reed, which means the reed, one who swayed about by every teaching, by everything, suddenly Jesus spoke a word of encouragement to change his name, to change his destiny from Simon, the reed, to Peter, the rock. The unreliability would become a sure foundation in which God could use in order to minister his kingdom. And so it's a very incredible insight here in terms of what Jesus is doing. He's revealing himself as the Son of God. He's revealing who he is. And he's calling a people in order to build his church. And the church that God is going to build, the gates of hell will not prevail. And so this morning, when God says to you, who do you say that I am? He's calling each one of us here this morning. We might be those blown around by the reed. But God wants to make us like Peter into a rock in order that he can build his church. Then we go on to the next exciting thing, which I think is absolutely fantastic. He then reveals to Peter about the ministry of Jesus, the ministry of the kingdom. He says this, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he warned his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Christ. So when I first looked at the keys of heaven, what does a key do? It opens a door, doesn't it? And what does the key open? It opens the keys of the kingdom of heaven. A key unlocks, it opens, it releases. In Revelation 4 it says, before me was a door standing open in heaven. And then if you look at Revelation 4, you see Jesus, the risen Jesus in his glory being shown with an open heaven. We also see that an open door means we have access to the kingdom of God. Jesus said that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so what Jesus is saying here, by saying that I give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, whatever you loose on earth will be loosed on heaven, is that God is giving us, as God's people, his authority and power to bind on earth, to loose on earth. So whatever's bound on earth will be bound in heaven, whatever's loosed on earth will be loosed in heaven. What does that remind you of? It reminds me of Isaiah 61. I bind up the brokenhearted, to set the captive free, to bind and to loose, to release. It's the ministry of the kingdom. It's the ministry of Jesus. Jesus said this, the spirit of the sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness the prisoners. The anointing upon God's people in order for them to build God's church is the Spirit of the Lord upon his church. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, it is upon you. It's intentions that the Spirit of the Lord is the anointing that enables us to facilitate the ministry of God, but also we need to preach and speak God's news, which is the good news, which is the poor. And the poor is for all of us, isn't it? We're spiritually poor, we're physically poor, we need God. And it's the intention that through the Word and the Spirit, we minister his freedom to others. To bind up the brokenhearted, to free the captives, to release those from darkness. It's to bind up and to loose. And it says in Isaiah 61 that God came to bind up the brokenhearted. And what this refers to is the heart. What is the heart? Well, the heart is what makes you and me. And a broken heart is made of our mind, it's made of our emotions, it's made of our soul and our bodies. And a broken heart can damage us. But what does Jesus do? He binds up the brokenhearted. He sets the captives free. And I just want to share a story, and I can't remember whether it's in Ireland or whether it's out in Holland or something. My dad was, I think it was in Ireland. And he was speaking at a conference, and it was, I think it was about 11 o'clock at night. They'd been ministering for many hours after. I think, it's a good evening. God was moving very, very powerfully. So about 11 o'clock, and my dad was there with a team. And he's beginning to get quite tired, as you do, after ministering for a few hours. And he thought, well, right then, guys, we should go now. You know, let's get ready to go. And as he's about to go, a lady came up to him and said, my husband's is in a wheelchair. He's been bound up for many, many years. Would you pray for him? And my dad thought, oh no, not this time of night. You know, I'm really tired. And in my dad's spirit, my dad says, I'm going to raise him. And so he said to the woman, he goes, well, okay, go and get, where is this? Where is this man? And she goes, well, he's a little way away from here, but I can go and get him now and he can be with it within a few minutes. So my dad goes, well, okay, go and get him. So anyway, she went and got him and she brought him into the church and he's in a wheelchair and she brought him to the front and his hands are all bound up. His legs are all bound up. He'd been here for, you know, like this for many, many years. And as my dad saw him, my dad saw that there was unforgiveness in his life. And as he saw him, he said to him, you know, what has happened in your life in which, you know, there's been unforgiveness which has caused this situation, you know. And he said that actually it went back many, many years when he was born into a family. And he was the last one to be born into the family. And because the family were unable to look after him because of their situation, he was put into adoption. And it absolutely devastated him because he thought, why me? Why was it I had been put into adoption like that? And so he was very, very angry with his mother and very angry with the situation he found himself in. So my dad said to him, I'm going to pray for you, but are you in a situation where you're able to be able to say sorry to your mother for your anger, you know, for your hurt and for all those kind of things. And also then we're going to pray also that, you know, God will bring his, you know, bring his love and restoration to you. And so so my dad prayed for him, the Spirit came upon him, and for a period of time the guy was sitting in this chair, and the Spirit came on him and he fell off his chair and he's lying on the ground. And as he's lying on the ground, the Spirit just kept moving upon him, moving upon him, moving upon him. And then as my dad saw, he could see the person talking out loud. He's talking and he's saying he's forgiving his mother, he's forgiving the situation he found himself in, he's forgiving this and he's forgiving that. And at the end of it, my dad prayed with him that the Lord would restore him and the Lord would bless him. And so they lifted him back up into the wheelchair. He was taken back to where he was staying. They left that evening for the ministry, and they met up in the morning for a time of worship, very similar to a day like this. And so they had a time of worship, and then they had a wonderful evening the night before, so they had a time of testimony. So as they were, my dad was inviting different people up to share their testimony, suddenly a person stood before my dad and started tugging on him like this. And my dad looked at him and he just could not believe it. It was the man he'd been praying for at the front. And the man said to him, "During the night, after you prayed for me, wave upon wave of love came over me, and Jesus showed me how much he loved me." And he started releasing the pain of my past. He started binding up my broken heart. He goes, "I had a wave, and this morning I got up, I've put my legs on the ground, and I could stand up, and I could walk." He goes, my arms are now no longer bound up. And I walked into the church today from where I was staying. I didn't want any help because I know that Jesus has set me free. See, Jesus binds up the brokenhearted, you see. It's the ministry of Jesus Christ. He forgives, he cleanses, and he unlocks. And in one sense, that is really all I have to say this morning, because that's all I want to say, because I believe, I've just been really praying this weekend, and I've been studying all this weekend, because I believe that Jesus wants to release more and more the ministry of Jesus in the church. It's got to be our ministry. It's got to be, because we need to be bound up. Our hearts need to be bound up. We need to be set free so that we can be those who set others free. And so this morning, we're going to invite the ministry of Jesus to the church, because it's his church, it's his ministry. And we want to be open now to God's power. And it's very encouraging, because this morning, there's a real expectation in the air this morning. I don't know if you felt it. Isn't it amazing what God is beginning to stir up in the church? And when we were praying at the Hot House 2 weeks ago, I had a picture, and it's a picture of a wave being pulled back. And as the wave was pulled back, there's a period of time where some people are saying there's nothing going on, and there's some people preparing themselves in expectation for the Spirit of the Lord to come. And I believe that we're in a period of time, I don't know how long that is, but I know that God wants to move with great power again. I've seen three movements in my lifetime of Jesus moving incredible power, from when I was very, very young to only a few years ago. And I believe that God's ministry has never gone away, but he prepares a people in order to release his ministry upon the church. And it's a time of preparation, it's a time of getting ready. But in the midst of that, we want to spend time in God's presence, that God can set his people free in order that we can set people free. And that's why we're having things like overflow. That's why we're having the Hot House. Spaces and times to be in God's presence, for him to exercise his ministry, because it's his church, it's his ministry, he's our God, he's my Lord, he's our Savior, isn't he? So let's stand. First thing, I just want to pray now, Lord, that you just break any fear in this place, Lord. And Lord, I want to pray that you release expectation in the hearts of God's people. You said in your word, who do you say that I am? And the revelation from the Father was that you are the Christ. You are the living God. What does that mean? It means that God is living and active. It means that he's alive. He's here with us today. And Lord, it's a revelation from the Father. And Lord, I want to pray now that you release that revelation upon your church this morning, Lord. That you are a living God. You are active. And so, Lord Jesus, we just welcome the Spirit of the living God to fall upon your church, the church of Jesus Christ. Thank you, just that statement alone is good news to the poor. And Lord, you've come to set us free. You've come not to bind up our broken hearts, Lord. You've come to release the captives, Lord. It's a year of your favor, Lord. And Lord, I want to pray now that you just release now by your Spirit, not by might, but by your Spirit, Lord. Just let it come now. And just welcome Jesus now. Welcome the Spirit into our hearts now. Just welcome. He's going to start moving. He's moving now, I can see it upon people. Just welcome him. Welcome the King. The King is truly among us. And sometimes with the Spirit, it's like melting an iceberg. It just needs a little bit of water and just begins to melt, and it just begins to enable us to receive. So Lord, just do that now. I just want to, if there's anyone here this morning who's adopted, and I'm not highlighting it out any particular way, but I just really believe the Lord wants to break into any pain that has caused. I remember when we adopted 4 kids into our family, I was quite upset about it to start with, but then the Lord said to me, you're adopted into my family. It says in Isaiah that we're adopted. So anyone who is adopted, come forward. I just want to pray with you now. We need to move quickly because the Lord wants to do things this morning. So if you're adopted, there's a sense of actually, that the resonation that I'm adopted. I'm not quite sure, who my family is, all that kind of stuff. I really believe that God wants to establish you this morning. So if that's you, just, take the step. It does take to come forward. I'd love to pray with you. Thank you, Lord. More of your power, Lord. Lord Jesus, let it come, Lord. Let it come now, Lord. And also, I just really believe the whole word about the broken heart. Our hearts can be broken from all sorts of situations. They can be things that have been said. They can be expectations people put on our hearts. There's things that there's all sorts of things that can trouble our very being. And God says, "I come to bind up, to heal," and He heals as in that situation through God's love. And sometimes there's a response that we may need to make in order to give restitution to someone. But at the same time, it's a sense of actually God wanting to bind up our hearts. So Lord, I just want to pray now for those who have a pain from their past, Lord, that doesn't seem to go away, that seems to continue to echo. I want to pray, Lord, that you would begin to minister to that now, Lord. So I just want to invite the ministry team up here this morning, those who have been trained to minister and authorized to minister. And I just want to invite anyone else who just wants to be prayed for this morning, because the Spirit of the Lord is here, and don't pass them by. I just really believe that in a season where the Lord is going to keep coming to his people, and it's almost like in Ezekiel, it starts off with a drop, then it's ankle high, knee high, waist high, and there's a sense of God just overpowering presence. And we're just going to keep pushing in. And so I just want to encourage you to push in this morning. Thank you, Lord. It's more of your power, Lord. It's more of your power, Lord. Just let it come, Lord. Let it come, Lord. Let it come, Lord. Let it come, Lord. Just let it come, Lord. Let it come, Lord. Let it come, Lord. Let it come. Father, Lord, let it come, 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 So if we can see people who need to be prayed for, can we please pray for them? Thank you, Lord. Jesus, bless you, Lord. So those who are trained in ministry, just to look around at those who need to be prayed. I just want to encourage those who are women to pray for women and men to pray for men, just so that we can keep that in order and to be appropriate. We have a lady here, another gentleman over here. We've got another guy here who needs to be prayed for. Can we have another lady to pray at the front over here? That's great. And we can pray for Colette here. So look at us, we can pray. Let's all pray for you, man. Lord, let it come. That's great. Thank you, Lord. More of your power, Lord. Yeah. That's it. John Fung's going to pray over there. Excellent. And Margaret over here. We need someone to pray for Margaret. And a man to pray for Thomas here. And there's Joe at the end there who needs to be prayed for. That's great. Yeah, just go for it. I mean, that's okay. Are you going for it? Yeah, brilliant. And just anyone else who wants to be prayed for, just keep coming forward, because the presence of the Lord is here. And don't pass him by, because he's just so worth waiting around for. Thank you, Lord. Bless what you're doing, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. So while those have been prayed for, I'm going to say a final blessing, and then there's tea and coffee at the back. It says, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. So, Lord, I want to pray now your blessing upon your people, Lord. I pray that you would give them everything they need in order to be the people you've called them to be. Pray, Lord, that you would send them out now, Lord, in the power of your name. In Jesus' precious name, amen. So there's tea and coffee at the back. There's prayer at the front. And we have a service tonight at 7 o'clock. So if you want to come along to that, we'd love to see you.
drink out.